Predictions for 2026. Of course, the prediction business is a dangerous business. And my prediction track record is that I'm typically right about the trends and I'm wrong about the timing. I tend to predict things happening more quickly than they actually do. So keep that in mind as I talk about what I think is going to happen in 2026. Maybe it'll take more than 1 year to happen, but it's actually, I think, more instructive to talk about trends. In which direction are things really moving? Even though we can't tell the timing, we do know the vectors. And so the biggest trend of 2026, in my opinion, is going to be AI. Well, AI replacing many humans, and AI also creating a lot of new opportunities, a lot of new tools, a whole new economy in many ways. AI is clearly going to be, in my view, the biggest story of 2026. Now, that won't be true if there's World War III or something, or if there's a nuclear accident or an event or an attack or something, then maybe that would be the biggest story. But barring some huge catastrophic event like that, or, aliens showing up or fake aliens, cosmic false flag where they fake like the aliens have appeared, that would be the biggest story of the year. But other than that, it's going to be AI. And there's a very good reason for that. It's because, see, the growth of AI capabilities is an exponential phenomenon. And the human mind is not really wired to, to understand exponential events. We're wired in more of a linear fashion. And so people underestimate how dramatically AI technology is going to change things in 2026. In a similar fashion, they also underestimate how the cost of AI tokens is going to drop dramatically, while the capabilities of AI are going to increase dramatically. So we could see just the cost of tokens could easily plummet by one order of magnitude, 10x in 2026, and it could be a lot more than that. It could be 20x or 30x. The capabilities are going to increase dramatically. And China is going to continue to release a lot of open source AI models that are increasingly very capable. In addition to Mistral out of France, their models are also very good, notable. I use their models for a lot of things as well. But in the US, they're not releasing open source models much anymore. Maybe there are a few smaller companies that are doing so, but the giants aren't releasing AI models in the US. So the biggest new model releases are going to come out of China and France. And China is playing a very interesting strategic game right now where they are trying to become the global standard for AI models by building amazing models like Qwen and DeepSeek, etc., releasing them for free so that people don't pay ChatGPT or OpenAI or Google or Microsoft for their models. Now, and by the way, I'm not putting down the capabilities of models like Gemini. Google's models are excellent, actually. Google, as much as I don't like the ethics of the company, Google does have highly capable engineers who are themselves building really, impressive models. That's the only way to say it. They're really impressive. And based on the current rate of advancement, 2026 is going to blow people's minds. I've even seen a lot of astonishment with people when I tell them about the book AI engine that I built. So my book creation engine, it's at brightlearn.ai. And in minutes, it creates a book for you on any topic. It does everything, the cover art, the research, the writing, editing, the citations, referencing, the fact-checking, and then the PDF packaging, and sends you the book. And it happens usually in a few minutes. Sometimes it's a few hours, depending on the load. People are astonished at that. And, I don't blame them for being astonished, because 6 months ago, that wasn't possible. Well, imagine what's going to be possible 6 months from now. You see, like, just the engine that I built alone because I'm the only human engineer on the entire project, that engine is clearly disrupting the book publishing industry. You know, it's called a disruptive technology. It just changes the game completely. And we have 5,000 books published there now, by the way. 5,000 books from over 1,500 authors, and that number keeps increasing. Well, imagine what the world is going to look like when that kind of efficiency and innovation is seen everywhere, across every industry, across healthcare, across education, government, you know, private corporations, technology, you name it. Imagine what that's going to mean. Well, you're going to begin to really see that in 2026. So as a result, you're going to see greatly improved efficiencies, accuracies, results in areas like customer service. You're actually going to have better interfacing with any kind of a healthcare system that incorporates this technology. But at the same time, you're going to see millions of workers lose their current jobs. The displacement will be unprecedented. This will cause short-term economic chaos. It will cause a lot of desperation among those people who are displaced, a lot of fear and panic, and eventually, probably, a demands for a UBI, Universal Basic Income. And I'm guessing there will be a UBI, which is really sort of an elaborate form of unemployment, let's say. If you've been displaced by AI, you will probably be able to collect some amount of money from the federal government. And so maybe it's not a universal basic income. They might not give the money to everybody, but it will be, you know, AI displacement unemployment benefits from the federal government. And I'm sure that that's going to happen because the displacement numbers are about to get massive. And many of those workers cannot be easily rehired in other jobs because a lot of those jobs just will never exist again. They will be permanently replaced by AI. So this is both a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is, again, radical abundance, easy access to digital cognition, and all the things that result from that, like being able to create books at brightlearn.ai, right? But then the displacement and the disruption of economic chaos and the fear, apprehension among the working class, that's going to be a very real thing. So that's the biggest trend, in my view, you know, barring something, some war or something. What goes along with this is the second trend, which is a wave of corporate bankruptcies. You're going to see a large number of corporations going out of business in 2026. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One will be those who refuse to innovate and who are left behind because they don't incorporate AI. And so they will just be outcompeted by other companies that do use AI. But the second reason is at the retail level. Because of the job losses and job displacements, you're going to see a sharp reduction in the discretionary spending of consumers because of, you know, loss of income. And even though there will be some kind of a UBI, like I said, it's not going to be enough to both live on and to make a lot of purchases of things that you want, you know, like extra luxury goods or vacations or whatever. So you're going to see a continued drop in discretionary spending by consumers. This will lead to more retailers going out of business. And as a result, then you're going to see more retail space becoming available, which means more abandoned retail buildings, which is already a huge problem in many cities. And what goes along with that is more bankruptcies of commercial lenders or commercial banks that are on the hook for those commercial properties. So these are some of the domino effects that you're going to see in 2026. Again, this is a huge disruption of the status quo. The economy is going to have to be reformatted in a sense, or recalibrated to the new reality where machine cognition is widespread and cheap, widely available, and very inexpensive. And think about that in this context where I just read a shocking new survey from a university that says that 54% of the adult population in the United States is functionally illiterate, that they can't read and comprehend information at even, what was it, a sixth grade level, I think? It was either sixth or seventh grade. Well, that's shocking, but it shows you how quickly AI will replace many, many people. Because, you see, AI doesn't have to be that brilliant to replace a population that's half illiterate. And I don't mean to sound arrogant or demeaning by saying that. I'm just stating that factually. If half your population can't read and write, which is the case in America, and then a machine could come along that can very competently and very affordably read and write and read emails and answer emails and answer customer service and so on. Well, you know, of course the half illiterate workers are going to be replaced, because it's not like they're geniuses that can't be replaced by machines. You know, the machines are going to replace the illiterate half very quickly. Now, some of those people will be in labor jobs, obviously, where they don't need reading and writing skills, or maybe most of them are in labor jobs. And it will take a few more years before those labor jobs are replaced by automation via AI robots. So their jobs might actually be safe for a while. But if any of those people are in areas like customer service or any cognitive jobs, you know, jobs you can do behind a computer with a keyboard and a mouse, those are going to be very rapidly replaced in 2026 and beyond. Just have no illusions. That's exactly what's going to happen. So the bankruptcies will be widespread. And the real question in my mind is, how fragile is the financial system? Can it withstand the wave of bankruptcies and failures of lending institutions or financial institutions, etc.? How much can it handle before the whole system breaks down? And I don't know the answer to that. And I'm not predicting a total collapse Mad Max scenario for 2026, but I do know that the dollar eventually dies. Now, maybe that doesn't happen in 26. Maybe that happens in 2030. Who knows? But I see the signs. You do too, obviously, because they're inescapable. And this system can't last much longer, which brings me to another trend in 2026, which will be massive currency printing and accelerated dollar devaluation. Yes, groceries are going to get even more expensive in 2026. The real world inflation rates will accelerate in things like groceries, but there will be deflation of prices in things that can be handled by AI. So for example, our book engine, right? What's the price of a really great book? It's zero. So talk about deflation. You know, we've taken the cost of books to zero. So that's something you don't have to spend money on anymore. You can create all the books you want for free. Well, but you can't create all the food you want for free because AI doesn't make food, right? So food is going to get more expensive, but digital books will become less expensive. Energy. Right now, oil is very cheap, shockingly cheap. And it's hard for me to say where oil is going to go in 2026 and beyond, because I'm not an oil industry expert. But I would imagine there are two competing forces. One is going to be the risk of war in the Middle East. Any kind of escalations there would tend to make oil prices go higher, obviously. But then there's the decreased demand of oil because of economic downturn factors across America and Western Europe, etc. So with fewer people buying things, you know, transportation is a big part of commerce, obviously, even, you know, online commerce, Amazon, etc. They have to get it to you using combustion engines, typically. So with purchasing going down, you're going to have transportation falling, and that will reduce demand for oil. So my overall guess, and this is just a guess, I'm not an expert on energy or oil in particular, but my guess is that oil could actually stay about where it is right now unless we have conflict in the Middle East. Or it could even go down, but I don't think there's a lot of downside room for the price of oil, but it's possible. So I'm not expecting a massive spike in oil prices. I am expecting a high increase in electricity prices, especially for those on the eastern power grid in the United States, which is the 13 states, including Virginia and Tennessee, et cetera, New Jersey, you name. These are the states that host most of the data centers, especially in the Virginia area for the government. Well, that power grid, the entire eastern power grid, is already at maximum capacity. And yet, they're still trying to build more data centers and bring them online. That's going to cause power scarcity. And in the short run, it's causing, well, price increases for kilowatt hours. And so those people in the 13 states are going to find themselves paying extremely high electricity rates, much higher than what they may have imagined before, like 35 cents a kilowatt hour, 45 cents, 50 cents. You know, these kinds of prices are going to be commonplace among those states. Whereas in China, what are they paying? You know, 10 cents? I don't know. It's much, much lower. The Texas power grid, which is its own power grid, is a lot more affordable than the eastern power grid right now. But with all the data centers coming online in Texas, Texas is also going to suffer increasing energy scarcity. And this could be a factor on very cold days or very hot days, you know, because of energy usage for cooling and heating. The western power grid has the most spare capacity at the moment, I believe. But there's not nearly as much infrastructure investment going into the western grid because everybody's fleeing California or Seattle, for that matter. Why? Well, because everybody in the business world realizes that blue cities or blue states run by Democrats are all basically on a suicide mission because Democrats do not understand economics or business or energy or reality. It's financial suicide to keep your company in California. Why do you think Elon Musk moved out of California? Now, I understand he still has offices there, but probably over time, those will be shut down as well. It's suicide to try to conduct business in California or in Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington, etc. And even these days, Denver, Colorado, or Albuquerque, New Mexico, right? These are suicide cities because of Democrat policies. And so as more and more businesses and wealthy residents flee those areas, you're going to see a drop in investment. I mean, it's already happened. There's just no real new infrastructure being built, not at scale, to try to build out, for example, data center infrastructure in California. No, it's not happening. The future of data centers is not in California. It's in Texas. Yeah, or it's in orbit, you could say. They will have data centers in orbit for a lot of reasons that make a lot of good sense. You know, free solar energy in orbit and easy to dissipate heat using, you know, radiant heat dissipation, etc. But California, no way. Nobody's going to invest in California because it's a train wreck of, you know, corruption and waste and fraud and abuse and lawlessness, etc. So the other trend is the rapid decline of blue cities, Chicago, LA, Denver, Seattle, Portland, Houston, Texas. There's one for you. Some cities in Florida, you know. I mean, basically any blue city is going to see an accelerated decline. And that's going to lead to the trend of states having to vastly increase their spending on social welfare programs, which is going to bankrupt the blue states even more quickly than what's already happening. And ultimately, those blue states will be begging for federal bailouts of state debt. And if that happens, and it probably will happen, even under Trump, it probably will happen. Because, you know, the cost of not doing it is so high politically, and yet the cost of bailing them out is just printing more trillions of dollars, which the government's going to do anyway. So yes, I'm thinking that a lot of these cities like LA that has a, you know, insane budget, paying a lot of pensions and retirement benefits and, you know, medical and healthcare benefits to former government workers or current workers, those cities are going to go bankrupt and they're going to have federal bailouts. So the government, at the federal level through the Treasury and the Fed is going to print trillions of dollars to bail out blue cities and states to keep the pensions rolling for those people so that those people still have enough money to buy stuff in the economy to create the illusion of abundance, but it's just another form of a UBI. You see? In fact, here's another trend. The Trump administration will be working on finding lots of different ways to print and disperse money throughout the economy to stimulate until it's too late. You know, stimulate until the end, and then it's over. That's going to happen. And that's going to be cranked up in a huge way. I mean, you're going to see tax refunds. You're going to see the tariff dividends. You're going to see, you know, bailouts, like I said. You're going to see UBIs or something resembling UBIs. And all of this is going to happen as there's a shift into CBDCs, which is the technocratic surveillance state. That's the other major trend that will really ramp up in 2026, is efforts to get everybody into a digital system. Now, this will take several years. So this is really more like 2026 through 2030. But by the year 2030, you know, if the dollar still exists, you won't be using bank wires to send money. You won't be mailing checks to anybody. You won't even be using ACH. You'll be using the government-approved stablecoin to transfer money rapidly at very low cost. And I don't know what stablecoin that's going to be, but it's one of those created by the Genius Act or enabled by it. And it'll be, you know, something that will probably benefit the Trump family and JP Morgan alike. And it'll be a stablecoin. And you'll be able to move money around like that, but it's all going to be surveilled. Total KYC, total AML. That's anti-money laundering, in case you're wondering. KYC is know your customer. So these are all surveillance technologies. And so, yes, the rise of technocracy will accelerate in 2026, and it will become much more difficult to function off-grid. In fact, you know, I still use cash everywhere I go. If I buy groceries, I pay cash. If I buy gas, I pay cash. I pay cash everywhere because it's private. But it will probably become more and more difficult to pay with cash as the electronic digital systems come online. And that's their goal, is to surveil everybody, control you, and limit you, to block you from being able to use your money or to automatically fine you or tax you or seize your funds electronically just by blocking your wallet address. That's coming. And that also underscores the importance of gold and silver and private crypto like Monero or Zano or others to be able to bypass the government's systems of control and surveillance. I'm an advocate of private crypto, but not really Bitcoin, which is surveillance crypto, and certainly not the government's, you know, CBDC system, which is Big Brother surveillance crypto. So anyway, all these trends are going to accelerate in 2026 and beyond. So this is what I think is coming. Some of it, anyway. It's going to be a very interesting year. There will be a lot of people living in despair and a lot of people experiencing abundance. And the choice of what kind of year you want to lead is really up to you. And part of my job is to help make you aware of these choices and trends and then give you the tools, the technology, and the know-how to make the best choice for you, whatever that choice happens to be, about your health, about your wealth, asset protection, about privacy protection, about all these things. And every day I work to give you that information. So follow me at brighteon.com, the platform that I'm the founder of it. And my channel there is HR Report, where you're possibly listening to this. I'm also on Rumble with the channel Health Ranger Report. And you can follow me on our social media, brighteon.social or X at Health Ranger. And then you can use all my AI tools free of charge, such as our book generator, which is at brightlearn.ai, or you can find brighteon.ai, and you can see all the tools from there. So my best advice is learn to use AI, upgrade your skills and your knowledge, and get ready for a very interesting year. And thank you for listening. Thank you for all your support. Oh yeah, you can shop with us if you want to help support us at healthrangerstore.com. Featuring certified organic and lab verified foods and superfoods and nutritional supplements, personal care products, survival and preparedness solutions, and a whole lot more. All of that at healthrangerstore.com. And every purchase helps support our platforms. That's how we pay for our platforms, and that's how we make everything free. Through your support, you know? So healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab-tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.